Good morning, and thank you everyone for being here today. My name is Haley Tabor. I'm the Vice President of the Global Industries for Dell EMC. And I have a great opportunity to be the MC of this session. And I'm also very proud to be part of Dell, who is a partner in today's event. So, you know, it's funny because Nellie, who I'll be doing a little more of a formal introduction in a couple minutes, she said to me, let's get started. I said, well, it's not time yet. And she said, well, let's break the rules. I'm a rule breaker. And it's like, how do I get to MC the event with the person who tells you they're the rule breaker? So, but great. And we're going to run a video in a couple of minutes, but a couple things I want to just share about Nellie Galan. So Nellie, as some of you may know, was on Celebrity Apprentice. I think it was the first season, so I'm sure we'll have some fun questions when we get to the Q&A and hearing some of her experience. Also, Nellie is a New York Times best-selling author, and I believe the book is available. The book is self-made, and that's what Nellie's going to talk about today, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, and Rich in Every Way. And I can tell you as a mother of three daughters and one son that this topic is near and dear to my heart. So we're going to have a wonderful hour together, and with that, maybe we can roll the video. Thank you.
Country when I was 4 years old with my family.
Nellie Galan is a self-made media mogul.
I'm the kid of immigrants, and I figured my parents did not bring me all this way for me not to do something big.
She started out as the youngest guest editor of 17 Magazine, which led her to reporting for network television. At 22, she became the country's youngest television station manager. Galan founded her own company, Galan Entertainment, in 1994, which helped launch over 10 television channels abroad and produced over 700 television shows in English and Spanish, including the hit reality series The Swan for Fox Network, which was famously spoofed on Saturday Night Live. Galan became the first Latina president of a U.S. network, Telemundo. She then was a celebrity apprentice.
Television executive and Latina media tycoon, Nellie Galan.
What's the Spanish word for expert?
Empresario.
I love that word.
Empresario is good.
I love that.
Who likes empresario? Raise your hand.
I think Nellie has tremendous ability. She was like the star of the team.
Most people are losers. You're a winner.
Why should I keep you?
Because I'm exceptional. With all due respect, not one of my team members has brought me into the boardroom before. And I don't know why you haven't gotten over that.
Nellie's a leader.
I live in the world of Latinos, in the world of successful women. And somebody has to do it.
This girl is on fire!
Galan has since started the Adelante movement to unite and empower Latinas economically and entrepreneurially.
I decided I am going to start a movement for Latinas, and it's called the Adelante movement, because Adelante means move it, move forward.
The media and the U.S. government took notice.
Here with us now, Emmy award-winning producer Nellie Galan.
I wanted to say, if you're not looking for Latinas in your corporation, you're missing the boat.
Our goal is to train as many Latinas as we can.
Well, you could see her excitement.
I'm excited. Adelante.
Thank you for teaching me a new word, Adelante.
My charity is for women entrepreneurs.
You are so positive.
I love your slogan. You know what her slogan is? Don't buy shoes, buy buildings.
And now, Nellie has a New York Times best-selling book and a movement called Self-Made for all women.
There is no true empowerment until you are financially self-reliant.
And it's not a grandiose feat. It's for all women. We can all do it from our house.
Every company has to look at this new reality that women are the sleeping giants in America. We have incredible power, and there are more entrepreneurial opportunities for us than there are jobs. You are my mission in life, women like you.
Oh my God, I love that you say that.
Your power is not given, it's taken, and it's there for us. Think bigger. Becoming self-made is the new ticking clock for women. It's not if, but when.
Nelly has done it all. She is an inspiring entrepreneur.
I am self-made. Let me show you how. Now, here, go. Adelante. Thanks, Ab. Hi, ladies. Are you having fun? Isn't this event amazing? Amal Clooney, I wanted to ask so many questions about George Clooney. But you know what? You know what? I have to say, what I heard this morning and what I took in is that Amal Clooney was a hidden figure like so many of us. Right? Someone doing something that if she wasn't right now married to George Clooney, maybe we wouldn't even know she existed. Right? And it's so important for all of us to be here today, this whole day together, and realize that we are all Amal Clooneys. We are all doing extraordinary work. And we just, many of us just don't have the right platform to be all that we can be. So I wanted to start by telling you a little bit about how I became self-made. And then I want to tell you what I've learned so we can like speed this up for all of you. I want you to leave here knowing how to do it. And when I say self-made, I promise you, I don't want you all to think I want you to leave your jobs and go be an entrepreneur. Do not do that. Because I have done all of it. I've worked for other people. I've worked for big corporations, you're going to hear. And I think that's very important. But I want you to all think it's a mindset shift, what it means to be self-made. Self-made is like DIYing yourself. Thinking bigger, thinking in a more powerful way. And yes, I'm gonna teach you today how to invest your money and be self-made on the side while you have a job. And you may or may not decide to be an entrepreneur at some point, but we are living in the greatest moment in history for women. And in particular, for women of color, who are the number one consumers in America and the number one emerging market in the world. But most of us are silent and quiet, and we're gonna stop that. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. First of all, I know I sound really loud and beastly, but I am an immigrant that came to this country with my parents, like Amal, had to leave a regime change in my country of Cuba, left with nothing. My parents came here with nothing, and I became their translator, their therapist, their everything. I was super shy and introverted, and still am, believe it or not. But I realized that no one was going to get past my exterior to get to my interior. And a voice is something you cultivate and develop over time. So let me tell you how I did it, and then I hope I can show you how to do it. So Haley said that I told her I like to break the rules. Well, I've had to break the rules. For people like us, if you don't break the rules, if you just do everything everybody tells you to do, you're never gonna get to where you need to go. And believe me, I'm a chicken. So I'm gonna tell you how I did it. For me, it started, my parents came to this country, had no money, but poor things. They were like, you know, we have to send her to Catholic school. Catholic school is good. So I went to all-girl Catholic school that my parents could not afford. And like many kids of parents that don't have money, or many kids of immigrants, or many kids that have parents of color, we know that we're very empathetic because we feel for our parents. Sometimes I wish my kid could feel the way I used to feel, that I worried about my parents and what they were going to pay, and I knew how much they had suffered and sacrificed for me to have a better life. And I'd overhear them at night, and my mother would say, ¿Qué vamos a hacer? What are we going to do? We can't pay for the school. And my father would say, don't worry, Jesus will help us. And I was thinking, my dad does not know these nuns. They're gonna call me to the principal's office and they're gonna kick me out. And I was so worried about it in the seventh grade that I kept thinking, okay, well, how can I fix this problem? It hurt me that it hurt them. And so a lady down the street, an older Jewish lady, she was like always selling Avon. Door to door. And she said to me, honey, why don't you sell some Avon in your school and I'll give you some free lipstick. And I thought, I gotta go cut a better deal than free lipstick. And I had seen somebody on TV say something and I kind of copied it. And I went to her and I said,
okay, listen, I want to sell Avon, but we got to split it 50-50. And she's like, okay. So out of my locker, you know, which I would take the cosmetics and I'd sell it to all my girlfriends on the bus and sell it to all the moms. And in the first week I sold Avon, I made $200. Can you imagine back then? Immigrants are great salespeople. Hello. And after a month, I had $800. And I went to the nuns and I said, I'm going to pay down my tuition. But I had another problem. My dad, is this bad? You guys can't see? Should I move this a little? Yeah? Sorry. Hey, Ab, where are you? There we go. Is that better? I can come down too later. So what I did is I gave the money to the nuns, but then I worried about my dad. Does anybody here have a Latino dad or a macho dad? You get it, right? A Latino dad is not going to let you pay for the school. So I said to the nun, can you write a letter home, make something up, do something, figure it out? I cannot let my dad think that I'm paying for the school. And so the letter comes home, and my mother opens it up. She goes, ¿Qué dice la carta? What does it say? And my father goes, oh, my God, your daughter is a genius, and Jesus helped us after all. I told you. And I always say that is the marker moment of my life. Because as you all know, those of you that have had issues in your life, it was the moment I found the beginning of my power, but it's the moment I lost my childhood. Because I thought, this is now my job to save my parents. Then, Haley, you're gonna like this story because this is when all hell breaks loose. Sophomore year in high school, I write a story for school. I send it in, and the nun tells me that I've plagiarized the story. And again, I feel very Latina, like I'm being profiled. What's going on here? I would never do that. I'm such a good girl. I think this is an Ernest Hemingway story. It takes place in a village in Cuba. It must be Ernest Hemingway. And I'm like, really? And she suspends me for 3 days from school. The goody two shoes that does everything right, the good girl. And I go home and I tell my parents, and my mother says, ask for forgiveness of the nun. I go, but I didn't do anything. Ask for forgiveness. Why? Because traditional people, people of color, people that are immigrants, are afraid. They just want to be low-key, under the radar. Please don't even see us. Don't cause a stink. Just ask for forgiveness. Take it. And I was like, are you kidding me, Mom? I'm not going to take it. I just read Martin Luther King and the women's rights movement. You brought me here to have rights. And I was mad. So what did I do? I did the only thing a girl in that moment could do. Today, I would have gone crazy on the internet, but I wrote an article for my favorite magazine, 17 Magazine, about why you should never send your kid to all-girl Catholic school. But I sent it in, and I forgot about it. 3 days later, the nun calls me back in, and she goes, I'm sorry. You know, actually, it's not Ernest Hemingway. It's really good, and I gave you an A. The whole thing blew over. 3 months later, I get a check in the mail from 17 Magazine. We are publishing your story. I go, no, 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 no. And I'm trying to figure out, you know when you get that adrenaline rush that you do something wrong and you're figuring out how to get out of it? I'm like, how do I buy every single magazine from every single newsstand? Because I even forgot what I wrote, but I was really mad when I wrote it. The article comes out. Oh my God. I get to school and all the girls are like, did you hear what she did? And they call me to the principal's office. You know, when you focus on a fear you have, it usually shows up. I go to the principal's office and she says, she's looking at the magazine and she's like, we don't like your kind here. And I have to get home and tell my mother that I've been expelled from the all-girl Catholic school. And you can imagine the Latinos. Oh my God, you go on your hands and knees. We cannot do this. Why do you do this to us? Why do you create problems? Why do you write the article? And I'm like, why is my mom such a wimp? Why is my mom taking the side of the school? And I start getting madder and madder at my mom. And I say to her, Mom, we left communist Cuba. You told me one of the reasons we left is for freedom of speech. I have a First Amendment right here. I can write whatever I want. And thank God that in my anger, can you tell I'm a little impulsive? I call the Board of Ed of the state of New Jersey. And thank you, God, an African-American man answered the phone. He was more empowered than my parents. And I said, listen, I tell him the whole story, and he goes, these nuns make me mad. They shouldn't have kicked you out. And I said, well, can they do that legally? And he goes, yeah, it's a private school. But I'll tell you what I think we should do. Let's go to the press. And, you know, I should have put my mother in. You can imagine my mother. I go, okay, let's do it. The next day it comes out in the paper, Cuban girl gets expelled for First Amendment issue. Okay, I don't even want to tell you. I get home, and there's a message from the nun. You and your parents need to come to the school. Can you imagine the car ride with my parents to the nun? Why do you do this? Why are you a disaster? Why would you write about anything? They're going to kick us out of the country, por favor, why? We get to the nun's office, and we walk in, and she's like, hi, so lovely to have you here. I go, what the heck happened? And she's like, I never said I was expelling you. I was a little upset at your actions, but we're happy to have you here. In fact, you're such a great student. Look, you're ahead. You have all these AP classes. In fact, we're going to graduate you a year and a half early. And my mother and father are like, is this good? I go, it's great. It's fabulous. Right over their head. I get home and I'm like, wow. I just like, wow. And I, again, another lesson, note to self. It doesn't pay to be a wimp. It doesn't pay to be quiet. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. You have to fight for your rights. They don't just get given to you. Listen carefully, ladies. I get home and my life was about to change for the best. I have a call from 17 Magazine. They say, we're so proud of you. You're so brave. You fought the nuns. You did the article. We love you. We have a guest editorship that we give one college student a year. This be the guest editor of the magazine. We're for the first time in history giving it to a high school student. So what should have been the worst things that, now you know why I'm disruptive. It pays to be disruptive. So I went to work at 17 Magazine, life changer. I kept writing articles for 17 Magazine that were disruptive. These producers that were doing the teenage version of 60 Minutes, the TV show, contacted me, said to me, we are starting a new TV show for teenagers, and we want it to be kids that are older that look like teenagers to be the reporters. We'd like you to be one of the reporters. But you need to move to Austin, Texas in 3 weeks. They thought I was older than I was. Nobody thought I was still a teenager. I was 17 at this point. I go to see my parents and I say, Mom, I'm moving to Texas. I got the most unbelievable once in a lifetime job opportunity. Usted no se va, you're not leaving here. You don't leave here till you marry. I said, Mom, I really am sorry, but if you don't let me go, I am escaping because you don't get it. You don't get how this country works. And this is a big deal. 60 minutes. ¿Qué cosa 60 minutes? 60 minutes is a big deal, Mom. I'm going. And so one day, 3 weeks later, at 4 a.m, I'm sneaking out. I had bought myself a little Chevy Chevette car. Those of you that are my age will know about that car. And I was going to drive myself alone cross country. A little crazy. And my mother is waiting for me downstairs, hysterical. She's like, how could you do this to me? You are so selfish. How could you leave us? And I do understand now, because I was my mom's therapist. I was my mom's translator. I was my mom's everything. Living in a town where nobody spoke Spanish. And I'm like, Mom, I'm really sorry, Mom, but I have to go. I have to go. And she goes, you are the worst. I will never, never, never forgive you for this. And I turned around and walked out and drove myself cross country to Texas. And it was so painful. I cried the whole way there. I felt like such a horrible person. But when my mom read The Galley before the book came out, she cried hysterically because she said, I am so sorry. You were so much smarter than me. What would have happened if you had not left that day? I learned to drive. I learned to speak English. I actually went back to school. What would have happened to us if you had not gone on and had that career that has helped us? She said, I was so wrong. I have met so many women in the tour of this book that for one reason or another get stopped in the tracks because of their families, because of detours, because of things that go wrong, and because we always put ourselves last. In my selfishness, which my mother, in her eyes, was selfishness, I did the right thing first for me and then for the rest of my family. So I want you all to think about that. So from there, I started, now we're gonna speed up the story because I really wanna tell you lessons. I started at the bottom in television. I did that little reporting thing. Then I had to go back, be an intern, be an assistant, work my way up. I became the first TV station manager of a little Spanish TV station. When it was not cool, I was working at CBS, and I left CBS to go do that because I knew the Latino market was going to be big. I worked my way up in corporate life and became the first Latina president of a TV network with 6,000 employees, Telemundo, without having finished college. While I did that, I worked for these billionaires that own this company. And the entire time I worked in that TV business, every day I went in and thought to myself, I didn't think, what jerks. I mean, and believe me, there were a lot of jerks. There were a lot of bad things. I thought, I'm going to pretend this is my company. I'm going to figure out what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And the one thing I learned is that all these men that were rich were running these companies, and they take their money, live beneath their means, and buy buildings. That's why I said, don't buy shoes, buy buildings. And so at 31 years old, I started taking very little money, and we're going to talk about it more, and buying little buildings, then flipping them and buying bigger buildings. And today, after a career in corporate life, which then I left there and started my own business, I'm basically Latina Tyler Perry. Produced a lot of shows, did all this. I was able to retire at 45. I'm not Beyonce, I'm not J-Lo, I'm not an athlete, I'm not an actress. Step by step, like a turtle, slowly rising, paying attention, really noticing how to think like an owner, staying late. I don't have one mentor that knows that they're my mentor. Doing extra projects for people that I thought were smart, I learned what they did and I copied them. And I'm gonna tell you all these tricks that I've learned. Because at 45, I had made 5 times the money in real estate than in my main business. And the rents from all those buildings allowed me to go back to school at 45, get a master's and doctorate in clinical psychology because I wanted to. And after all that, I get a call from NBC and they go, we want you to be on Celebrity Apprentice, the hidden figure, the behind the scenes person that no one knows exists. And my initial reaction was my low self-esteem showed up. I said, well, I'm not a celebrity, why do you want? And the president of NBC goes, hey, why don't you just thank me for giving millions of dollars to your company in publicity? I go, thank you. And he said to me, we really need you to go on the show because I realized that this guy's really not nice to multicultural people. And I know that you're a Latina, you've worked for or had as clients 7 billionaires, and they're bigger jerks than he is. So I figure if you can handle them, you can handle him. I don't want a Latina to be on that show and be squished like a bug by this guy. So I'm gonna tell you, and then you can ask me later all you want about Donald Trump, but this will tell you everything. In the first episode, he screams at me. Well, you saw. And I said, excuse me, my father doesn't talk to me that way. My husband doesn't talk to me that way. You're not gonna talk to me that way. Right in his face. And he's like, okay. We stopped filming and he goes, wow, that was great. Keep yelling at me. We're gonna get great ratings. So that tells you everything about Donald Trump. So I decided that I because I had already made money, I had learned from older Jewish women in my industry that were very philanthropic, that they were giving back to their communities. And in my community, we give to our parents. We have no money. So I thought, if someone like me that's made money doesn't help my own community, who's gonna do it? So I realized I have to teach my Latinas first how to become self-made, because it's the one thing that I have done step by step, and the importance of that. And I started going around the country doing that, and my African-American sisters showed up, and my Asian sisters showed up, and my sisters from India and Asia showed up, and my white women friends joined with us. And I realized, oh my God, I have to put this in a book, because most of us do not have linear paths where we go to Harvard and we get a job and we become billionaire. It just doesn't happen. But I want you to know that this idea of becoming self-made, about of talking about money, the importance of having money, the importance of really being empowered, which you will not be till you have your own money. I want to show you how to do it. Abby, can I use this? Yeah? So I'm going to tell you what have I learned that I wish someone had told me way earlier, because I want you to really leave here knowing what to do. What is the number one thing I wish I knew when I was 20 years old that changes your life? Ladies, there's no freaking Prince Charming. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make it really deep for you. Prince Charming is not your mate. It's not your man, or a man or a woman. It could be your boss. Let's go back to Hidden Figures. How many male bosses have I done their job for them? They take all the credit, and they don't even give me a raise, and they don't throw me a bone. He's not my Prince Charming. How many of us work in a company that's very prestigious, and we think, I'm so-and-so from such-and-such a company? That company could be disrupted. That company could lay you off. If you don't have your own sense of self, your own personal brand, that company is not your Prince Charming. And guess what? The government and the president, we know for sure, is not your Prince Charming. So, what is it? You have to realize, the day that I realized, I had fallen in love with someone, I had a baby with him, I realized there were circumstances that were a deal breaker, I had to break up with him. And even though I was already successful, I thought, I can't do this, I can't have this kid, I can't raise this kid by myself. And my girlfriend showed up and she's like, honey, you are such a good girl, you have saved so much. She goes, pull out your finances right now, let's do the math. She goes, you're freaking Prince Charming. And when she said that to me, I realized, I'm it. I am all I need to save me. And it has to start with me. And everyone else in my life, whether it's a man, whether it's a boss, whether it's a company, is icing on the cake. I'm the frickin' cake. So I want you all to hear that, because this is something that even if, I have to say, I watched a mall today and I was like, but she found Prince Charming. Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. And maybe some people do. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I mean, I'm not anti-men. I'm not anti-women. I'm not anti-mates. But what I say is, in the end, you've got to really think, I am it. I'm the whole shebang. I have to make myself happy. I have to be in charge of my finances. I have to be complete. And I have to tell you, I have met women that think like that, act like that, and they really rise above all of us. And it takes work. We're not out of the womb thinking like that. Okay, what else do I wish I knew? I wish I knew at 20 that in order to make it to the end of your life, you have to change your relationship to fear and failure. I come from a culture where we're all afraid about everything all the time. Who relates to that? Okay, I realize fear is not a fact. It's just a feeling that passes. And what I've noticed, as I said, I've worked for 7 billionaires, and I would work for them and I go, is this guy a billionaire? I mean, I'm smarter than he is, really? But the difference was that he would be afraid. I noticed he was afraid too, but he would just do it anyway. And I thought, wait a minute, maybe I can just rewire my brain. And you can. When fear shows up, and it shows up all the time, every day, a million times a day, for everybody, there are people that let it, they freeze, it makes them stop, and there are people like me that go, big deal, do it anyway, do it anyway, do it anyway, do it anyway, do it. And I'm gonna tell you when I recently did that. You know, I wanted Susie Orman to write the foreword to my book. And I'm like, I met Susie twice, she doesn't really know me, whatever. And my Latina head comes in, that voice that really, La Susie? La Susie's not gonna do this for you. Who do you think you are? And I'm like, the other side of me that I've cultivated over here is like, send her the email. You write great emails. Write her a rockin' email. Send it, send it, send it. And my finger's like this, and I go, no, no, Susie, no, send it. Okay, if I do, and this is always what makes me do it, if I do nothing, nothing will happen. Zero. Guaranteed zero. If I do it, what's the worst thing that could happen? She doesn't respond, I hurt my feelings. Big deal. So I went, send it to Susie. 5 minutes later, Susie responds and she's like, I'd love to write the foreword to your book. Now I want you to know that always, that doesn't always happen. I've sent, you know, I sent, you guys will appreciate this, when I was 14, I sent Steven Jobs a letter and he wrote me back and told me to come for an interview. But not, it doesn't always happen. I've written other people that frankly should have written me back and they didn't. So it doesn't always happen, but if you don't even try, nothing happens. And then you always wonder, what if I had done it? And then failure. You know, you guys saw my tape. You know, I watch my tape and frankly, I'm very impressed with my tape. I go, you know, I've done, that sounds really good. But what you're not seeing is my failure tape. It's so bad. I have failed so many times in my personal life. The Prince Charming thing certainly did not work for me. I've had to kiss a lot of frogs to find a good one. In my personal life, in my career, I've produced, you saw me say, I produced 700 shows. Have they all worked? No. So guess what? I also saw all these billionaires fail a lot, a lot. And what's the difference between them and me? I would like really get devastated and they'd be like, okay, next. So I realized that I have to cry it out. I may even go to bed for a couple days and not get up, but then I gotta rewire my brain. Get back on the horse, get back on the horse, get back on the horse. Do it anyway, get back on the horse, get back on the horse. Why? Because, and you guys know this from Silicon Valley, some of you that are in pharmaceuticals, you know, to find the cure to a disease, to find an app that works or some technology that works, you have to fail many times to find it. So guess what? You won't be surprised to hear that around the corner from my worst failures, my like hysterical depression, in bed, whatever, around the corner is what were my greatest successes. That if I had given up, I would have never gotten to. What else do I wish I knew then? This is very Amal Clooney. Your pain is the gateway to your brand. Your pain, which we all try to sweep under the rug, is the answer to everything in your life. Look at what she said. She had come from this other place. You know, she decided to study law. What kind of law did she study? Because it was all around her pain. And you know, I've heard her speak other times and she really goes deeply into her pain, which she didn't do as much today. If I wasn't the kid of immigrants, if I had not gone through everything I'd gone through, how could I create a TV network around my pain? 700 TV shows I've made around my pain and continue to do. I turn pain into profit. And I've also, it's transcendent work, because when you turn your pain into profit, you're very successful. It's like what you were meant to do. That pain was given to you so you can do something with it. Now, not everybody has to invent a business. Maybe that pain is your constituency. Maybe that pain is your customer. You understand that customer. Maybe that pain is you're in a company and you understand your crazy boss because you have a joint pain. But you've got to always go to your pain. Don't throw it away. There's a reason you were given that life journey, that path, and that pain. I think that when I meet so many women and they say to me, my culture, my language, everything that I am, I feel like I need to diminish it in the corporate setting I'm in. I feel like I have to be quieter, not as loud, less colorful, whatever, not wear weird hairdos, whatever it is. BS. We are living in a country, don't listen to what the government says. Let me tell you what corporate America, Fortune 500s think. Multicultural women, the number one customer in America. If we decided not to purchase from any particular company because we didn't think they were doing the right thing, they would be closed down in a month. The number one power we have in the world, which we don't use, is the power of our purchase. And that is because we're not empowered enough to know that. So I want you to be more of what you are. You are an expert in your culture, and that's what you're bringing to the company you work for. And if they don't get it, disrupt, be loud. And if they don't get it, go to another company. Silicon Valley, everybody steals everybody from everybody else. To be chosen, you have to choose yourself first. When I go around the country and I talk to women, and I'm casting a TV show, and I go, I'm casting MasterChef. I go, what do you do? And women say to me, oh, I kind of cook. I go, honey, are you a chef or do you cook? Because if you don't tell me you're a chef, I can't put you in this TV show. Why do we diminish ourselves? Men tell you what they're going to be 20 years before they're that. We're like, oh, I'm not good enough yet. I haven't figured it out. Guess what? No one's figured it out. Declare yourself in a way that's powerful, not in a way that's wimpy. This is who I am. This is what I want. When people in a place like this say, raise your hand, raise your hand. This is who I am. Because we have to promote ourselves. And those, my women of color, quiet, quiet, quiet. Where I'm going to show you how to get unquiet right now. I'm going to go faster because they're telling me we don't have that much time. Power is taken, not given. I'm not the first person that said this. Many people have said it. It is true. Things are not coming on a silver platter. Go get it. Be huntresses. You know, we are not in a moment to wait for something to show up. It's not going to happen. Okay, I'm going to give you the best trick that I use, because most of us, remember, former introvert. Okay, if you guys want to be stars, go take acting lessons. You cannot do half the things you're going to do if you don't cultivate. If doctors have to keep taking classes, why do we just sit around and stop growing? Okay, when I hear Olivia Pope written by Shonda Rhimes, she sounds proud. I want to sound like Olivia Pope. When I hear Kerry Washington, the actress, on a show, she's kind of like quiet and meek. Voices are cultivated. All of you have a powerful voice inside. And until you go to take acting classes or speaking classes, you're never going to learn to push that voice out. I have asked, in my field, I have to go raise millions and millions of dollars. As an immigrant, I could never go up and say to them, can you give me $5 million? I'd be like, I know my mother's voice. No. Instead, I'm like, I put myself in the voice of one of my Jewish billionaire men. And I go, what would he say right now? He'd go, listen, it's going to cost you $5 million. If you don't give me the money, somebody else will, and you're going to be sorry. And I put myself in his body. And I act because I've taken acting classes. And guess what, ladies? It works. It freaking works. I want you to think about that. I'm going to go a little faster. To grow in your career and business, you need to grow first. This is an ongoing thing. If you're not taking a class every year in something, you're screwing up. Because we cannot be, with everything moving so fast in the world, we cannot be masterful with status quo. The world is about excellent people. You need to meet new people. You need to have new ideas. You have to go to museums. You have to take classes. You have to love yourself so much that your number one priority is to grow. I say all this, but I'm going to go faster. And I think, you know, Amal, again, I'm very aligned with some of the things she said. She said, go to the end of your life when you're in a rocking chair. I say a similar thing. What are your goals? Not now. For those of you that are very young, go to 50. That you think that's the end of your life. Those of us that are older, go to 80. And do a composite board of what I like this. I like the family of this woman because no one person is perfect. I like the money of this person. I like different things of each person. And start imagining what you want the end of your life to be and reverse engineer. Because as we all know, 20, 30, 40 years go like this. Write it down. Write what your goals are. This is what I wrote when I was 20. You know, and I wanted to own a house, not own a mortgage, own a house. I wanted a beach house in my country. I had to settle for Miami. But the list is done and I'm on list number 3. If you write it down, you also can't do it alone. You have to cultivate in life other people that are in your life that help you. I just wanted to show you how bad retirement is so you can really see that you all have to be millionaires or you're not gonna make it to the end of your life. You know, if you only live on $5,000 a month, that's 1.2. From 65 to 85, and most of you that are young are gonna live to be 100. You're gonna be broke. So this idea of self-made is very important. Let me speed it up. Okay, let's keep going, sorry. So how do we do it? We go from instant gratification to goal orientation. Remember I said don't buy shoes, buy buildings? No more lipstick that in 2 minutes you're over it. No more a million outfits in your closet unless you go and sell them on eBay. That's okay. Mission and money. We have to parallel tracks. We have to think, what makes me happy? But how much money am I making? And you have to focus more on the money until you have enough money that then you can focus on your mission. I don't want everyone saving the world being wounded healers and you're not saved. No. We have to put this as a priority. So all my billionaires said something to me that when they told me, I was like, what are you talking about? They said, the secret sauce to the American system is you have to make money while you sleep. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? They go, if you work for other people your whole life, even if you have retirement or whatever, you're not gonna make it to the end of your life. You have to make money. You have to save a percentage of the money you save. You have to invest the money you save in something that will make money without you working. That could be real estate, that could be stock, that could be whatever. If you don't do that, you're gonna get to old age and you're gonna go, what happened? You're gonna be very sad. I wish somebody had told, nobody tells women, how many of you have heard this before? You see what I mean? We don't get told this. So how do we do it? You work for other people. You have to either save money or start a side hustle. You know, and you live in the time of side hustle. I'm gonna go a little faster, sorry. I told you don't buy shoes, buy buildings. And I'm not saying buy houses, buy commercial real estate. Why? Because we're all women. If somebody rents from you and then they're broke, what are you gonna kick them out? You're not gonna kick out, and then if it's a commercial business, it's a business, it's different. These are all the ways you can become self-made. So in the sharing economy, side hustle, drive an Uber or a Lyft, you know, sell on eBay, sell on Amazon on the side while you have a job, or you invent, but most of us are not founders, invest in a company, product, or technology that someone else that's smarter than you, you go, oh my God, that person's gonna make it, invest a little money. We disrupt an existing business. It could be in your neighborhood that you go, that person is not doing that right. Let me invest in that business. While you have a job, a franchise. If I had to do my life over again, I'd own 20 franchises. Why do we have to invent everything from scratch? When somebody can give you color by numbers, you put $50,000 up and the thing makes money and you can put all your kids to work in it. How many people in their own neighborhood have existing businesses that they could buy that already have revenue? A local store, something that you can pool your money with other women. And then those of you that are young and get it, create a brand online and monetize it. My kid has his own YouTube channel and is gonna pay for his own college. He knows how to do it. Becoming self-made, this idea that we have to take care of ourselves financially. Whether we work for other people on the side, we have to be cultivating this other life that makes us money while we sleep. We also have to be cultivating our voice. This takes a lifetime of mastery. This is not, we're not born with this. It's okay, you can start at any moment and do it. We have to be louder and braver. If you heard nothing else from me, it doesn't pay to be a wimpy girl at all. Speak up. What's the worst thing? Oh, your boss is gonna yell at you. Oh, wow. Yell at him back. Hey, you can't talk to me that way. You guys are gonna see that when you do it once. The reason I tell you to do acting classes or even, here's what I would say. If you have ever been in a room where you go, I wish I would have known what to say in that room. Somebody said something demeaning. Go write it down. Write yourself a little script of what you wish you would say. And then practice it with a girlfriend. And the next time you're gonna be ready to say it. Why must we do this? Do we wanna raise a bunch of wimpy girls? Do we want sons that marry wimpy women that then we go, why did he marry her? She's such a loser. We must lead by example and pass a better torch to the women that come behind us. We must, by example, hire each other. Diversity in the workforce starts with us. How many women don't help other women? How many women don't hire other women? How many minorities don't hire other minorities? We're crazy. We are all we've got. Do we not know this after this year? Call out another woman. Don't call her out in front of everybody else. Pull her aside and go, why are you doing that? Why are you behaving that way? Set the example. This is the number one thing you can do. You do it. If another woman doesn't do it, you do it. You stand up for another woman. You don't let someone else say something about another woman. You know, men say enough about us. Don't let another woman do that. Don't let other people say that. When people say things about Latinos, I stand up. We have to be louder and braver. I'm going, you heard my word, adelante. You know what it means? Move your butts. Adelante. Thank you so much. Questions? Do we have a little? We have a little bit of time for questions.
And we've got the mics.
The mics
set up there.
Okay. To be chosen, you have to choose yourself. Questions. Come on.
Questions.
Hurry up, because we don't have a lot of time. So I want to get enough questions. Thanks.
I'll directly come to the question. So you spoke about so many things that you didn't work out for you, or what you had to break through to get to this level. Did you play to your strengths? What's the strength of the women that you think are in you that actually helped you to?
That's a great question. I think my strength, like so many of you, by the way, where are you from?
India.
So I just want to say, Indian women in America are crushing it more than anyone else, but you're quiet. We need to all know how much you're crushing it because you guys are just unbelievable. I just have to say that I think that my secret sauce, my secret power, is that I was always indispensable. I think you can't do all the things I say to you. You can't go yell at a boss or do whatever if you're not so good at your job that he can't get rid of you. Like, you, and that's why it's important to stay late, hear all the secrets, hear everything. It's very important because you need to be someone that cannot be gotten rid of. And I'll tell you, I mean, we don't have time to say the whole thing, but I got my business funded by all my old bosses because they did not want me out of their life. And I'm like, they wanted me to be like basically their glorified assistant. And I go, if you want me to help you find an assistant, if you want me to tell them what a jerk you are and how to deal with you, fund my company. So I've been funded by all my old bosses. So, and I've done well by them and I've made the money. So it's not like, you know, it's a gift. But I think you do have to make yourself, it's really good to be that introverted, quiet person that's thoughtful, that's, masterful, and that's also strategic, that does their job. But listen, I will tell you this. I go home and I crash and I stay in my room for like 5 days and I read books. I'm a nerd. I am not an extroverted person by nature. But I can pull it together when I have to. And that's all I'm asking you to do. You don't have to change who you are, but you have to fight for what you believe in and the work you do. It's not gonna just I'm such a little mouse, and please give me some. No, mouses get kicked aside. They do. So you've got to have a side of you that's a beast. Temporarily, then you go home and you can be a mouse by yourself and read. But you have to do it. That's why I love my African-American women. African-American women have inspired me more than anybody. Because because they have suffered so much, they don't put up with it. And I get mad when Latinos put up with it. I go, please, get a friend that's African-American and have them teach you how to speak. It's true. It's true. Okay, other question.
I just wanted to know, how did you balance being a mom and feeling, I don't know, mom guilt from time to time, but still pursuing your career?
I have to tell you, to me, we all go through that, right? I have a son that is 17, about to go out. He's a senior in high school. I really wasn't there that much when he was little. Then I finally started my own business, and then I bought the house next door to mine, and my office was next door to my house. But I will tell you this. I now that I'm older and wiser, don't feel one iota of guilt. And I'll tell you why. Because I would rather be the example to my son of a kick-ass woman. You know, my son always says to me, Mom, I love when you get like the Hulk. I would rather that he has a model of a woman that is empowered, that has her own money, that owns her own house and has it paid off, and that is someone that is there for him, but that also isn't a slave to him. Because it's so important, because they're gonna marry the wrong person. I want him to have a model, and to me, that's more important than every minute of the day being there for him. So you have to decide, let's go back to passing the torch. What is the torch you wanna pass? It's the same thing Amal Clooney said, but in a different way. She's talking about your career. I'm talking about what kind of woman do you want to be in this world? Do you want to be a follower? Do you want to be the one but this is going wrong, but my boss? Or do you want to be a leader? Leadership takes guts. You have to get grit and guts, and you have to stand up and say, life is short. You know, I've had two friends my age in their early to mid-50s die. I can't even believe it. Life is short. You're going to blink, and you're going to go, I did not become the woman I should have been. And you are in a moment. Life is about moments. Life is about stars aligning. You are in a moment where you can speak up to power. And they're not going to say anything because they're all afraid. Try it. Use it. Use the moment. Another question?
Can you share some of the next goals that you've set to where you are now?
Yeah. So I think my goals when I was 20 to 50 were all about a combination of doing things that I loved. I made a lot of TV shows. I did a lot. I was lucky that I was in a career that was creative. But TV, some years you make zillions of dollars, and other years you make nothing. And I also wanted economic empowerment, because, again, as an immigrant, I knew the importance of that. So I wanted to own my home. I mean, I own a lot of buildings. I wanted to have the economic freedom. Money does not make you happy, but money gives you choices. So guess what? I'm living in one of the choices money has given me, to write a best-selling book, to have the time to go around the country and spend 151 days on the road in cities meeting women like you. And I am devoting myself the rest of my life to empower women economically and with their voice. Because I believe that we are in the generation that is going to change the world. I really believe that. So I'm committed to that, and that's now I'm in fully my mission. I could not be fully in my mission if I didn't have money.
Hi.
Oh, wait, do you have a question? Okay.
First of all, you have an amazing speech. Thank you. My question is, I know how to finance my residential homes, but I like your idea, like, don't buy shoe, buy building.
That's right.
And I have very difficulty of finding funds for building. Could you please share or provide some guidance how you first started?
Okay, so first of all, I'm gonna tell you all, I hope, where are my ladies? I hope you all give us your information, or if you don't have time, go on the website becomingselfmade.com and sign up. Because we do I do so much content. I do webinars where I teach you all this tactical stuff about buildings, about investments, about everything that we're talking about deeply for free. I have interviews with self-made women where we break it down. This month I have an incredible interview with a banker. So becomingselfmade.com, my two ladies stand up so they can see you. We are going, I'm signing books after this, but if you guys go by there, you can give us your card or give us your information. We'll sign you up. It's all free, and I go deeply into the information you're asking. And we have chats, and I do, so we'll invite you to everything. Oh my God, I'm an idiot. Thank you. There we go. That's how you can email me. Hello. See, I'm too old for this social media stuff. Info@becomingselfmade is how you can email us directly. You can email me. And you can also sign up or just email me and send me your info and we'll put you in. And we do newsletters every month. We give you tons of content, tons of information, and we're going to continue to kick your butt so you do it. Yes. Another. You have a question over here? Yes.
Hello. Hi. So in the last couple of months, I've decided to stop working for someone else, and I'm really trying to work for myself. And as someone who is an entrepreneur, and maybe for the other ladies who are thinking about doing the same, my head's all over the place, and I'm just wondering if you have one or two tidbits where our focus should be.
I do. First of all, and this might be, you might be farther along than this, do not start a business until you have 2 years of salary saved. Do you have 2 years?
No, I do not. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to help. No. I'm going to help you. Why? Because, again, nobody tells us this. You need 1 year for an emergency so you don't panic because it's going to take a while for the business to take off. And another year to invest in your business or invest in real estate or invest in stocks. Don't do any of it till you have. You're going to tell me, how the heck am I going to do that living here? You better. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to lower your overhead like I did. You're going to have a side hustle, put all the money from the side hustle. Again, you know, shared economy is the easiest way to do it. You have got to do that. That is the starting line. The starting line is, I'm going to be self-made. I'm going to save 2 years of salary. I have one. Okay, when you have 2 years of salary saved and you're working for someone else, I got to tell you, you're not going to put up with a lot. From a mate, from a bad boss, from nothing. One of the years you're going to start investing and you're going to see that money grow, make money while you sleep. Some of you will be entrepreneurs. Some of you will be entrepreneurial in your investing. But you need those 2 years of salary saved. Otherwise, you are a slave to the company you work for. Period. They've got you. Because they know that you need that you're living one paycheck to paycheck. Now, for you, that you already started your business, I'm back to the story. How did you fund the business? I'm curious. What is the business?
I'm a personal stylist.
Oh, okay, so you don't need a lot of money to do that. Okay, that's good. Lower your overhead.
Can you speak
to
the mic, please?
Oh, speak to the mic.
So I do own
She's
my own
She's a personal
place.
Stylist?
Yes, for professional women, so come see me. Anyway, I rented out my condo, so I'm making a little extra on that, and then I've moved in with my mom. So
okay, that's very good.
I mean, my sanity is at risk, but that's fine.
No, that's okay. By the way,
it's worth it.
It's okay. I mean, yeah. Some people are called to be entrepreneurs. I'm called to be an entrepreneur. So, and I also left my business and went crazy and did it without doing this. This is why I tell you to save 2 years of salary. But you're doing good by not having rent to pay.
Yes, and I'm still on unemployment, so.
Great, okay, great. So your job now is marketing yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you have got, do you feel like you're good at that?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, who here is good at marketing digitally? Who's good at it? Okay, I think you need, so here's what I would say I did wrong that I hope you do right. Okay. First of all, immediately, you have to join a professional organization. Your local chamber of commerce is perfect.
Okay.
You've got to meet other people. That's the number one way to promote yourself is go to a chamber of commerce event and say, I'm available, blah, blah, blah. So you say you're available, that's marketing. And number two, you go, who here is really good at this and how can you help me? And you trade skills.
Okay.
So maybe you can get somebody here that's really good at it, style them, and they can help you with your social media.
That's a really
but
good
number
idea.
One thing is Join organizations, because that's the quickest way to get your name out there and do what you did today, which is stand up and say, tell everybody your name, the name of your business, and...
My name is Candace Hanna, and my business is Style by Candace. And I am especially interested in professional women because I feel like it's so important to look the part and put your best foot forward to just be as powerful as you need to be, so.
Okay. Do we have time for one more or we don't? One more. Oh, two more.
Hi, thank you for this. This has been very insightful. As an immigrant, I just wanted to ask you, how was it for you to challenge yourself to know how to self-promote? Because that's kind of a big hurdle for me. I don't know if other women feel that, especially at work or outside of work, when you're trying to create a network and build your brand or business.
So I think it's important to say that we live in a time that is what we call a platform economy, right? Everyone has to build their own personal brand platform, period. Teenagers know this better than we do. I would say, you know, that's another issue of being introverted and quiet, or, you know, Latinos nos da pena, we can't promote ourselves, we have to be humble. Being humble is a beautiful thing, and to an extreme, it's a disaster. So I recommend, do you have a teenager in your life that's narcissistic like we all do? Okay, get your narcissistic teenager to build your brand for you. I think that my kid all the time tells me everything I'm doing wrong. And he's like, Mom, you're not on Snapchat, you're not on this. I'm like, okay, do it for me. And we actually have done classes together on how a family can be a self-made family and use the kids to help you. So that's what I would do, use the narcissist. Thank you. Okay, last but not least.
So everything you're saying is resonating so deeply with me. I've just turned 60. I got laid off. I took my severance.
60 is the new 30.
I love it. I took my severance, and I was recruited by my Latina friend who was a CEO of a startup company. She got me started on this. But what would you say differently that I can say to my daughters who are teenagers who don't get it when I say exactly what you're saying, they don't get it. How can I hit a teenager?
You know, I think teenagers never can hear anything from their parents. Sorry. But they'll hear it from other people. Like, I find that my kid doesn't listen to me, but all his friends really do. So you've got to bring her to something like this, bring them here so they can hear it, and just leave a book on the table and don't say to read it, because if you tell them to read it, then they won't. But I think that they do think like self-made people. Actually, they come to this quicker and faster than we do. I just have to tell you that yesterday, I got on the airplane coming here, and I sat next to my idol. Does anybody know who Diana Nyad is?
Yeah.
The swimmer that swam from Miami to Cuba, right? And she's in her 60s. And she inspired me so much because she was saying, I'm 67 and I feel like I'm at the beginning of greatness. And I mean, the freaking lady just, you know, swam to Cuba, for God's sake. I mean, how does she think it's the beginning? I mean, unbelievable. But I think what it is that, and I'm in my 50s and I feel like I'm raring to go too, because I'm older and wiser. I feel like I don't worry anymore. Am I cute? Do I have cellulite? I don't care if I have cellulite. If you don't like it, go to hell. You know, I now it's like, I'm wise and I'm gonna get there faster. I'm not gonna make the same mistakes I've made before. So I feel that for women that are older, so many of us are starting anew, and I find it exciting because we work so hard that I really think it's this generation of women that are older, and that if we just get that second wind, you know, I feel like when I meet people, so many of us are either alive and kicking or we're dying slowly. Something bad happens to us and we're like the living dead. We gotta resurrect. We don't have time. The world is screwed up. We gotta go fix it. So I think it's women like us that are gonna be the army that's going to change the world. And hopefully the youngins are gonna follow us. Thank you all very much. Adelante. I'm gonna go sign books. Oh, let's play. I'm just gonna play as you all leave a very short tape of my tour, all the self-made women that I met on the road the last 2 years. It's very inspiring, but very short. And you can watch it as you go. I am self-made.
We're going to sign books, too.
What a powerful thing to be able to say, feel, and accomplish for a woman. I am not alone. There are millions of women around the world becoming financially self-reliant through entrepreneurship. To become self-made is an honor and a new definer for women. And it's not meant to be a grandiose feat. You can be a stay-at-home mom who starts an online store out of her closet, a Chinese immigrant who develops game apps for girls, the baker who makes custom Mexican cakes, the undocumented dreamer who made it to the top of Wall Street, an African-American winemaker. All are women that I know that are becoming self-made. There are no barriers to entry, no excuses. There are tons of entrepreneurial opportunities, and there's hidden money in America for all of us. Self-made is a call to action and a leap forward in the economic evolution of women. Out of necessity, Latinas, African Americans, Asians, Middle East women led the charge as an emerging group that became the fastest growing entrepreneurs, becoming the largest growth engine in this country. So now with them, all women are united in a quest for a financial future we can control. Because there is no true empowerment until you are financially self-reliant, until you have your own money. The new goal is to become self-made. Let me show you how. Now, here, go. Adelante.
I am self-made.
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 I am self-made, and you can be too.